So thinking about what they enjoy and how they think and what they really respond to as well, I think that's really important.
And it was that simple framework that got Joanna Howes to put together a brilliant visual submission for the Flame Challenge. What's it all about? Well, you're about to find out.
You're listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. For hundreds of ideas, free experiments and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. And now, here's your host, Ben Newsom.
Yes, welcome again to another Physics Ed podcast. I'm so excited because this week is a special week in science communication because the Flame Challenge question gets announced. Now, if you've never heard of the Flame Challenge, go and type it into Google. You will find the Alder Centre. And it's from there that Alan Alda and the team at Stony Brook University have been posing a question once a year that scientists right around the world have to answer. And guess what? We get to speak with Joanna Howes, who won the visual submission for the year about what is energy. And she's got a lot to share about how to communicate a message in a simple form that 11-year-olds would genuinely rate as an awesome answer. So very much excited about this week. Let's dive right onto this interview. Joe's got a lot to share.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast.
Joe, welcome to the Physics Ed Podcast.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely, and I'm very excited. I must say I'm a little stoked that you want to come on board on this because you've been doing a lot of science communication for many, many years, but you kind of got, well, you know what, how about we flip this away? Joe, what do you do?
What do I do? Oh, that is a, how much time do you have?
Fair enough.
I am currently doing a lot of different things. So I am a science communicator, like you said. I'm a freelance science writer. So I write for a couple of YouTube channels, like SciShow and Veritasium on YouTube, which is pretty fun. I also make my own YouTube content. I'm a teacher at the University of Wollongong. What else? I think that's it at the moment. Yeah.
So you're one of these crazy people who do lots of stuff.
Yeah, lots of little things. It's a little bit hard to wrap my head around it, but sometimes, but that's well, okay.
Even just making sure that you are lots of bits and pieces. And I know a lot of people listening into this would love to just even just know all these different channels of things they do. So let's just concentrate on one thing at a time here. So, yeah. Right. So you've been writing programs for Veritasium and SciShow. That's really cool. What's that like?
Yeah. It's pretty fun. Like, I started doing it at the beginning of this year, and yeah, it's been a really interesting experience. So basically the way that, so the one that I write for the most is SciShow.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm definitely freelancer. I should probably point out that I'm not, anyway.
That's all right.
So basically what happens there is I pitch ideas for them. So they can be kind of weird and wonderful things. Like I did one on xenophyophores. So they're these massive single-celled organisms. They're about 15, 20 centimeters in diameter and they're one cell, which is insane.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is, right? It's pretty cool. So I wrote an episode about that. I've also written episodes about environmental disasters for them. So there's one about the Minamata mercury poisoning episode. What else did I write about? Oh, yeah, lots of episodes about farts for some reason. I've kind of become like the resident fart expert. I don't understand how that happened. They just gave me all of the things to write about there. Yeah, so it's been really fun. And it's been great for me as well to kind of develop my skills as a writer because I have the amazing editing staff at SciShow are just super helpful and they really help you with your writing style and how to kind of tailor it for specific audiences. And yeah, it's been really good actually. I've learned an awful lot.
And highly varied by the sound of it.
Yeah, it has been, which is kind of what I love. I mean, I think I'm one of these people that kind of gets bored after a while, which is potentially not a good trait to have, but that's okay. So being able to write about different things has been excellent. It's been really fun.
That's really fun. And you're also getting to teach undergraduate students. I believe they're primary teachers, yeah?
Yeah, so I kind of do two different subjects. So I teach the undergraduate chemistry students and I also teach the undergraduate primary school teachers, how to teach science. There's a science content subject that I got brought on to do the tutorials for, which was really fun. We got to play with a whole bunch of, things in the classes. It was really cool.
So one of the reasons, one of the things I often ask people when they jump on this, and I'm genuinely really curious about this, is the history, the background. Why science? Why not something else? Like, what is it that grabs you about this?
think curiosity, really. Like, I'm one of these people that just loves learning about how things work, I guess. I feel like that sounds really cliche, but
no, cliche away.
But yeah, it's a thing. Hey, cliches are there for a reason. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I feel like I've always been super curious about why things happen and how things happen as well. I think I spent a lot of time as a kid going to things like the Science Centre here in Wollongong. Yeah, learning about a whole bunch of stuff. Like, I remember actually when I was a kid going to the Science Centre in Wollongong and watching a liquid nitrogen show.
Yeah.
And seeing them kind of freeze a whole bunch of different things and like smash things with hammers that shouldn't be able to be smashed with hammers, like crushing lettuce into powder. And I was just like, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to be a scientist because they seem to be able to do really fun things.
And roll that forward. You then yeah. involved in, you know, genuine PhD projects around yes. chemistry. This is just yeah. unreal. I mean, I believe that was around chemistry and coral.
Yes, that's right. So I have a PhD in environmental chemistry, environmental biochemistry. I don't know. It sits in a weird spot, I think. It's a little hard to define. But yeah, so I got to look at the chemistry of corals and kind of investigate a little bit about what they're doing and why they might not be coping with increases in temperature very well. So yeah, that was super interesting. Really cool.
Absolutely. So actually we've got yeah. an episode coming up on this podcast with Craig up from Reef HQ up in Townsville.
Yeah.
And they do some very cool stuff and very much yeah. part of the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park. So it is,
yes.
they're really a the epicenter and almost the thermometer of climate change.
Yeah, they really are. I think it's one of those really interesting kind of visible examples at the moment of why getting into the reasons behind climate change and figuring out a way to stop it is really important. I think most Australians kind of look at what's going on in the reef and go, oh, yeah, there's a problem, because it's such an iconic thing for us. Yeah, I feel like it's one of those things that you can kind of talk about and people really understand why it's important as well. Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
No, it's absolutely unreal. And the with your career path, you have done a lot of stuff. You then did the left turn and you go over to ANU to do a bit of science circus as well.
Yeah. I feel like I'm one of these people that kind of, I don't know, like doesn't really know what they're going to do, tries their hand at a lot of stuff. I definitely know that, you know, science is the thing that I enjoy. But I feel like when I was doing my research project, I realised that doing the research itself wasn't what made me excited and happy and I hesitate to say happy, but you know what I mean. It wasn't what really got me to turn up every day. It was more kind of explaining that to people and teaching people about different things in science and teaching those classes at the university as well. And like that was what really got me. And that was what I figured out I was really good at and what I loved to do rather than kind of the research side of things. So yeah, I kind of decided instead of focusing on research, maybe what I could do is focus on communication. Yeah, which I think was a bit of a scary career change because, you know, you spend a lot of time kind of learning how to do something and then you kind of go, actually, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm going to try something else. That's a little terrifying.
So what was it like being on that roadshow? Because it's
different
one.
Yeah, it is. It's an insane year. So I went to do a thing called a Masters of Science Communication in Outreach. So basically what that means is you spend a year travelling around Australia with a thing called the Shell Questacon Science Circus. So it's kind of a three-way partnership between the Australian National University, Questacon and Shell. So we pack up a massive truck full of a whole bunch of fun hands-on experiments and exhibits and things to do. And then we get into cars. You'd be surprised enough for people that think we travel around in the truck. We don't. It's a bit full. And then you get into cars and you travel all around Australia and you do kind of school incursions. So we went in and did science shows for kids. We also took over things like town halls in rural and regional areas and set up basically a traveling Questacon, a science centre, which was so much fun. And so people kind of came in and got to have a play with a bunch of different things and we did shows there as well. Yeah, we got to go into the depths of the outback as well to a whole bunch of Indigenous communities and do workshops with them, which was an incredible experience. Yeah, it's just really fun. And then you get to, like, when we're not touring, we learn how to communicate science as well, which kind of involves things like learning how to speak to different audiences, how to change your language depending on those audiences as well. Yeah, the difference between science jargon and plain English. Yeah, a whole bunch of different things. It was an incredible experience, but it's also a really intense experience as well, because you're doing a master's degree in 9 months, and you also spend about 4 of those months on the road with 15 other scientists from around Australia, sometimes around the world as well. And yeah, it's so much fun. It's quite hard, but it's really fun. And it was, yeah, probably one of the best years of my life, actually. It's really good.
And learning how to communicate science is obviously central to what you do. And mm-hmm. that was why I was like, wow, because you kind of picked up something early this year. And I'd love to get into this. let's find out a little bit more.
Yeah. So you're talking about the flame challenge, I'm assuming.
I certainly am. Now, for most people are unaware of this flame challenge. This is, you know, launched in 2012. This was a mm-hmm. challenge that was thrown out there based on Alan Arda's own question, like, what is a flame? Mm-hmm. And I feel rather me talking about it, I believe that someone like yourself might want to hearing what you got and what you did. So let's do that.
Yeah. I feel like as well, if you have a chance, you should go and look up Alan Alda talking about it, because he's such a pro at communicating and talking about this kind of stuff. But basically the story that he tells is how he, as a fifth grader, year five, so about 11 years old, went to his teacher and asked, what is a flame? How does it work? And apparently his teacher looked at him and said, oxidation. And so he kind of says, with a lot more comedic timing than I do, and he was like, so then I had two questions. What is a flame and what is oxidation? So he decided, he's actually, like, I don't know that a lot of people know this, but, oh, and also if you don't know who Alan Alda is, he's Hawkeye on MASH. So he's been around for a very long time. He's 82, I think, this year. So he's doing super well. Yeah, so he presented a show in America called Scientific Frontiers for a very long time, which was sort of like Catalyst, I think. I'm not 100% sure, though. So he got to talk to scientists and got to interact with them an awful lot, and discovered that, as a group, we're not super great at communicating. Yeah, and that's kind of like, you know, you get into a field like that and you end up talking to a whole bunch of people, and you just get used to talking to people who understand what you're talking about and what you do. So he started a foundation or a center, which is basically all about teaching scientists how to communicate and how to think about your audience and how to change your language and change how you talk about your science so that people with no scientific background can understand it. So that's kind of where he's coming from. And so he, based on this question that he remembered asking his teacher when he was a kid, kind of also recognized that there was another big gap there that scientists don't often communicate with kids. I think a lot of us kind of feel like sometimes when we're doing science communication, we're talking to adults a lot. I don't know if that's a thing that I'm plucking from the air or if that's actually a thing. But the idea behind the competition is kids ask a question and then scientists are encouraged to answer that for the kids. So there's two categories. There's a written category, so you write your answer, and then there's a visual category. So I entered the visual category this year and I won, which is pretty cool.
So what we're hearing right now is a virtual clap right around the world.
Yay! It was very exciting. Yeah.
And it's very cool. I mean, obviously, to be able to create that medium, and it was, you got you know, hundreds, if not, you know, thousands of different entries and things coming in from all over the globe to answer this one single question. And what I love about it is how it's flipped, because it ain't the adults who do the judging.
No, it is not. And that was what I was, I kind of was saying that the answer to the last question, and I was like, oh, wait, I should tell you the really cool thing about this competition. And I think the thing that makes me super happy about this competition is that it's the kids that judge it. So they sit down in their classrooms. You can sign up your classroom to get a whole bunch of these entries. And the kids sit down and they talk about why they think this one explains it well, why they like it, what it tells them about energy, or whatever the question is. For me, it was, what is energy? And then they get to judge it and they get to pick the winner, which I think is incredible because it gives them such ownership over the competition and gives them, yeah, it just makes them feel a lot more confident about science, I think. Yeah, I love it a lot. It's really cool.
And the thing is that these type of questions come up in classrooms every single day, every hour of the day, in every single classroom around the world. Like it very much happens. And so a simple question like, what is energy? It's very few words, and yet it's got such a deep answer when you peel back the layers. I mean, the thing is, like, you only had a couple of minutes to pitch your idea, and especially in the visual medium. How did you go about that?
So we had a, I think it's 5 minutes. That's the limit. It was either 3 or 5. I can't remember. I think mine goes slightly over 3, so it must have been 5 minutes. Anyway, yeah, so I think having training in science communication kind of helped me out quite a bit. So one of the things that I remembered when we were developing our shows for the circus, the science circus, was to think of things that you want to tell your audience. So they're called key communication messages or KCMs. So I basically just went through and thought about what I wanted to kind of communicate and what sort of things I wanted to get across. And then I chopped those in half and kind of focused on 3, I think, in the end. Yeah, and I kind of wanted to tell a story as well. Because I think when you're explaining something like this, you want to have something that people can relate to and can kind of look at in their everyday life and go, oh, I see that. That's a thing. That's something that I've seen and I can relate to. So I tried to do that as well. So basically, I just kind of wanted to go through. So like I said, the question was, what is energy? So I looked at what is energy. I remember looking up the definition. You know how sometimes when you're told these sorts of things in school and it's like, this is the definition of energy. It's the ability to do work. And you're like, cool, great. What does that mean? You know, and it just raises a whole bunch more questions. So I think I decided based on that, rather than looking at what energy is, I was going to look at what energy does. Because I think for a visual medium, that's a lot easier to communicate anyway. And I think it's quite an abstract thing as well, trying to explain something like that. So having something that you can apply it to is super helpful. So I started with what energy does and then kind of went through the different types of energy and then looked at how objects can have different types of energy as well. So, yeah, like I think in the video I use the example of like I light a match and that has light energy and heat energy. And then I go through how energy is neither created nor destroyed, and how it kind of moves through a system as well. So, yeah, it was pretty fun. and it was a really interesting experience to kind of go through and try and figure out how to do that and how to make it something that they could see and that they could relate to. So, yeah.
And you clearly did it very well. And what I love about it is that you embedded the story into it. I mean, that's so critically important. We've only got a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
It's not just the facts, it's the emotion that goes with it. And so it just kind of, I was thinking this from a parallel. I was lucky enough to be invited to be a judge at the University of New South Wales, three-minute thesis competition.
Oh, yeah.
That is awesome because you've got PhD scientists doing some awesome stuff in a variety of areas, but trying to get a simplified message out about, trying to literally compress years of understanding into 3 minutes is quite an undertaking.
Oh, yeah. That was actually my first real kind of experience of science communication doing the three-minute thesis when I was doing my PhD. Don't think I placed anywhere, but that's all right. It was, it's a huge challenge, hey? And I just remember thinking about how to communicate something like that, you've really got to put it into plain English. And I think one of the easiest ways to do that is to tell a story, you know? Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. I was just thinking, I was sitting there going, that's pretty much it. It is. And then obviously it just comes down to what people perceive as the best story, I suppose, or the best, most eloquent way of describing this particular situation. But I mean, I love what I did like. I mean, that what is energy question is, it's deep. I mean, it's heat, sound, light, chemistry, there's all this stuff. And the idea of kids getting to understand how energy can transfer from one type to another is a bit of a, it turns up in late primary school as a genuine question. And so it's extremely well targeted and a lot of fun. So having won this, what did you get to do?
So I got to go to New York, which is kind of insane. It was funny. I was sitting there having lunch with the Flame Challenge crew, so the people that organize it. They're from Stony Brook University on Long Island. I think it's Long Island. Anyway, they were talking to me about one of the other finalists who was from Beijing, and they were like, we were trying to work out contingency plans if the two international finalists won, because I can't imagine how much, they spent to get me over there. But yeah, it was awesome. It was very cool. So yeah, I got to go over there and I got to meet Alan Alda, and he presented the award and we got to chat for a bit. And yeah, we went out for, had like a drinks thing afterwards as well. And it was just awesome. It was very, very cool.
And very exclusive alumni, considering that it's only been going since 2012. It's very,
yeah,
very cool.
Yeah. Actually, one thing that I didn't realize was that Physics Girl, she's on YouTube, Diana Cowan, she's quite popular, actually. She won it a couple of years ago, I think. She won it the year the question was, what is color? And I saw her video a few months ago and it's really fun. So, yeah, there's a lot of people who have entered the competition and that you might know if you are up on the YouTube community and that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. And what we'll do is we always post these conversations up on the physics website, and mm-hmm. we'll make sure we embed those YouTube videos, because they're yes. just really cool and really shining examples about getting content out clearly to young kids.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's one of those things that I don't think a lot of people think about when they're trying to explain stuff to kids. It's an interesting kind of exercise, I think. Yeah.
So if you had, you had some aspiring, Master of Science communicators or whoever wanted to enter the thing that's just coming up in December. And by the way, we really should plug that, because
yes.
it really is only around the corner. It's like, a week away from this conversation we're talking about.
I think so. First of December, the next question comes out.
So just say someone gets in touch with you and go, hey, Joe, how do I go about doing this? I mean, what would be the advice you would give to someone who is aspiring to produce, a quick 3-minute pitch on the question, which will be released soon?
I think, my advice would be think about your audience, definitely. I think one of the things that really stuck out to me, so part of the competition is that the kids all vote in their different classrooms, and then three finalists from each category are chosen, and then they do this thing called the World Assembly, which is like a live stream sort of video conference thing where they chat to a bunch of different classrooms around the world, and they get to discuss the finalists and what they liked about them, what they didn't like, or just general impressions about the videos and that kind of stuff, and about the written entries as well. And I remember staying up until 2 o'clock in the morning to watch that, because time differences are a thing. Yeah, and just listening to what the kids said about each of the videos and each of the written entries was really interesting. I think one of the main things that, if you're thinking about entering the Flame Challenge, one of the biggest things to remember is that these kids are 11, which means that, they're kids, but you shouldn't talk down to them. You know what I mean? Like, they know what they're talking about. They know heaps more than you think they do. And they know what they like, and they know what they want, if that makes any sense. Yeah. And I would also recommend as well, if you look at the Flame Challenge website, you can actually see past World Assemblies, so past kind of recordings of kids talking about the video entries. So go and watch those and have a listen to those and see what they're after and what they really enjoy as well. Yeah, it's quite interesting kind of listening to that as well. And I think potentially I had a bit of an advantage coming from a year kind of performing for kids as well. You learn very, very quickly what works and what doesn't.
those audiences can be brutal, let's be honest.
Oh, so brutal. It's pretty great, particularly the older kids, because they're like, what are you doing? So thinking about what they enjoy and how they think and what they really respond to as well, I think that's really important. Yeah, and telling a story is so important. Like, I know I say that. I've been saying it a lot, but it's really important. Like, in my video, I went through and I kind of, the ending clip, the one that kind of got trotted out a lot at World Science Festival thing and the assembly as well, they showed a clip, and it's the ending clip with the bit with the chicken, which is pretty fun. oh yeah, also include chickens. Apparently kids love chickens. I don't understand. But
who doesn't love chickens, really?
It's true, right? Like, but yeah, if you haven't seen my video as well, which probably a lot of you haven't, I have this section at the end where I talk about how energy originally comes from the sun, and then the sun makes the plants grow, the plants get fed to the chickens, the chicken chickens make an egg, then I take that egg and I bake it into a cake, and then I eat the cake and it makes me really happy. And then I have like this bit at the end where I say that it gives me a whole bunch of energy to run around and do a whole bunch of stuff, which is great because I have to go and catch a chicken. And then there's a kitchen in the background? No, a chicken in the background that just runs around all over the shop. Apparently, they loved it. I don't understand.
Oh, I love it. It's such a great description of what's going on. And it's got extra level. I was just thinking about as well, like when you think about the law of conservation of energy, mm-hmm. it is almost chicken or the egg.
Yeah,
a lot
it
of
is.
Ways anyway, which is, it kind of really works for that question, amazingly.
Bit of an accident.
I'll take the accents and you go along with it. But
no,
it does.
I totally did that deliberately.
That's right. And keep saying that, we're okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
No worries. And so basically, yeah, just type in Flame Challenge, Elder Center onto Google or your favorite device, and you will find that all that information totally. Mm-hmm. So, and seriously, I really encourage anyone who's listening to consider, even for your own interest to see, can you do this thing? Go for it. Try it. And it doesn't have to be, don't worry if you're not in a museum or whatever. I mean, frankly, it's just about, can you communicate a message? You don't have to be working in a school or whatever. It's just, can you communicate the message?
Yeah, definitely.
And that's the beauty about it and the equality about this, which is very cool.
Yeah. So it's open to pretty much anybody with a science background, really. So Hannah Holt, the lady that won the written entry this year, who is amazing and awesome, and we had a lot of fun. She is a children's book author and is a civil engineer as well, so any STEM background really, and it's so much fun. Like, it's filming that was an awful lot of fun. It was really great. But yeah, and just listening to what the kids said about it as well was really cool. Oh, and I can absolutely highly recommend including some sort of demo that the kids can do themselves as well. So I did like the double ball bounce thing with the volleyball and the tennis ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's so great. And so I have like a slow-mo section in there. But one of the things that the kids were saying that literally made me melt into a puddle. I'm not even kidding. One of the things the kids were saying at the World Assembly was that they watched the video and then at lunchtime a whole bunch of them went out and tried it, which was so great. I was like, yes. Actually, one of my friend's kids, who's a little bit younger than 11, tried to do it himself, and she was telling me that he couldn't quite get it to work, and so he accused me of Photoshop. I was like, oh, dude, I'm not that good at Photoshop. But just having something that they can try themselves as well, I think worked really well. So, yeah.
No, I totally agree. And actually, a real passion for what we do. I really love using simple materials from the local corner shop. It's so much more important. In fact, using the fancy equipment and glassware and whatever, if anything, creates a disconnect. It really does. And so, have the fancy stuff, and we'll play with liquid nitrogen and whatnot too, but it comes down to that. If the kid can't do it themselves, they're less likely to want to even try the fancy stuff later. It's just give them a chance. Give them a volleyball and a ball. Hey, go for it. And it'd be interesting, kind of funny. You can have the kids, you can challenge them. You say, let's use a beach ball versus a tennis ball or a squash ball. Like, you can have them all together. Which one bounces the highest? Absolutely. I love it. Hey, thank you so much for jumping on board this podcast. And I know that you'd be somewhat excited to hear what the next question is. I must say, I'm very curious myself. are you going to be involved in anything for the next year or so with the Elder Center?
Not officially, I don't think so, but we launched a thing on Twitter yesterday. Was it yesterday or the day before? Where we have been kind of asking people to make up some science haikus. So it's kind of like a preparation thing for the Flame Challenge question being released as well. So head on over to Twitter and post up your favorite haikus. So they're poems that have 5 syllables and 7 syllables, then 5 syllables as well. So yeah, we've been posting those and kind of trying to get that to go around the internet. I've had a few friends who have jumped on board, and it's just been really fun.
Science haikus are a lot of fun. We actually once a couple of years ago put it in as part of a, hey, bonus points for haiku when people were applying to work for this. And putting it in, it was a lot of fun. I'm going, oh my gosh, now we really, really like them.
Great. I just want to wanted to read you one of them. One of my friends, I feel like, won the internet. He's a mathematician. And he just went, fractals everywhere. Take a closer look and find fractals everywhere. And then has like, repeat. And I was like, that is amazing. That's so great.
That is fantastic. Wow.
So we've been doing that as a keep an eye out on the Older Centre and the Flame Challenge. The next question will be released very soon. So that's the 1st of December. Yeah, go and follow the Older Centre. So it's at Older Centre, spelt the American way.
Perfect. So not R-E, it's E-R.
E-R, yeah, which is wrong, but that's okay.
That's all right. We're good. And hello to all you Americans out there. We love you watching.
Anyway. It's all right. I write for an American company.
That's all right. I've got a lot of friends in America that will be smiling at me right now. But look, thank you very much for jumping on the podcast. Hey, how could people get in touch with you if,
Absolutely. Well, you can go and follow me on Twitter. So I'm at Joe Matrix. So J-O-H-M-A-T-R-I-X. I spell my nickname with an H. It's a bit annoying, but that's okay. So you can follow me on Twitter. You can also have a look at my YouTube channel. So it's called Class 509 Science History. It's called that because that's where you find science history in the library in Class 509. Yeah, so you can look me up on that as well. And I also have a website, www.class509.com, and you can get in touch with me through that if you would like.
Perfect. And we'll put those again in the show notes as well, because you had a lot to share. And really, I'd love to hear from listeners who are genuinely going to apply for it. And hey, and it'd be great to just see what gets submitted. I'd love to hear that this stuff gets, keeps growing and growing. The bottom line is we're all meant to be science communicators at heart, no matter where you happen to work. It's very, very cool.
Yeah, definitely.
So thanks very much, Joe. Have a fantastic day. Are you running off back to uni to teach again?
No, actually, we're on holidays at the moment until there's a summer school coming up in a couple of weeks in December. So I have suddenly a whole bunch of free time.
And it's so hard for some people.
I know, it's just terrible.
All right. On that note, you go enjoy your hitting the beach. I'm going to go back to work.
Sorry.
I can't complain. I'm hitting the beach this weekend. It'll be fantastic. All right.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast. We're all about science, ed tech, and more. To see 100 fun free experiments you can do with your class, go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled F-I-Z-Z-I-C-S. And click 100 free experiments.
And there you go. That was Dr. Joanna House from the University of Wollongong, who has so much energy and so much vigor when it comes to communicating science. And I'll tell you what, that must have been very useful considering her question was, what is energy? Love her work. And so, yeah, definitely jump onto YouTube. Go check out her submission, because if you want to submit your own for the Flame Challenge, perhaps she's got a few pointers in her own submission. It's worth definitely checking out. Hey, speaking of pointers, there were three things I definitely took away from this. Number one, if you've only got 3 minutes, make your story as compelling and as emotive as possible. Don't just give the bland facts. Make them interesting and vibrant as much as possible. Number two for me is break it down into small chunks and steps. Communicate it clearly. Use simple visual imagery that allows your audience to really, really, understand what you're trying to talk about, especially when we're speaking with children. And by the way, I love how Joe said, respect your audience. Your 11-year-olds really do. They know a lot of stuff. Talk to them like they know stuff. Don't talk down to them. Give them a reason to go, you know what? I love you as a communicator. And number three, be memorable. Be fun. I love how Joe used chickens. I mean, it's what a brilliant idea. Use some chickens. Kids love chickens. Why not use them? It's a great idea so that people, remember your presentation and it makes you stand out.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast. We're excited about science. Grab a copy of our new book, Be Amazing, How to Teach Science the Way Primary Kids Love, from our website. Just search Be Amazing Book. It's available in hard copy and ebook. Go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled F-I-Z-Z-I-C-S.
As you can hear, this episode is very much about science communication in its purest form. How do we grab the audience's attention? And you know what? It comes down to engagement.
A former colleague of mine had this phrase, engage me or enrage me. So if they're engaged, you've won out. you're not going to have to deal with as many classroom management issues.
That's Dr. Simon Crook, who's a massive advocate for getting kids involved in science in every single form you can find. And you can check him out on last week's episode. And you know what? Check out all the episodes. There's so many people from museums, zoos, aquariums, schools, just people who love teaching science and doing it well.
Thanks for listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. Sign up now for our fortnightly email newsletter. It's loaded with details on new experiments you can do, STEM teaching articles, new gadgets, exclusive offers, and upcoming events. Go to physicseducation.com.au. Scroll to the bottom and add your email.
And we just about come to the end of the Physics Ed podcast, but there's still more to come. Next week, we're checking out what it was like at the Youth Eco Summit, which is a massive event held every year lately at Sydney Olympic Park. It's all about the kids getting into the environment and sustainability. Lots of fun, and it's a big event held in the heart of Sydney. But until then, I hope you're making your science classrooms or wherever you happen to be as engaging and as awesome as possible. You've been listening to me, Ben Newsom from Physics Education, and you've been listening to the Physics Ed podcast. I hope to catch you next time.
You've been listening to another Physics Ed podcast. We're excited about science. Subscribe to us on iTunes to download the next episode as soon as it's released. And don't forget, for hundreds of ideas, free experiments, our new Be Amazing book, and more, go to physicseducation.com.au.